A leader with authority. A leader with credibility. A leader that is worthy of trust is always someone who leads, most of all, by example. My dad was part of that generation that fought in World War II, and he actually served in New Guinea and the islands and the Philippines. And he said the officers that were almost universally despised were the ones who would send soldiers into those jungle thickets and swamps and stayed themselves somewhere safe. They avoided where that hand-to-hand combat was going on, and they had no authority. I must admit, when I search for a doctor, I look for an overweight doctor. Hopefully someone who smokes, so I don't have to pay much attention to him about losing weight or getting into better health habits. I must admit, I think one of the saddest things is when a teacher never keeps up in their area of research, doesn't read the latest books. That kind of teacher will never open minds or bring students to fall in love with learning. But certainly, the greatest proof of the credibility, the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, was the fact that he so manifestly practiced what he preached. When God chose to save us, to show us a new way of living on this earth and living forever with him in heaven, God didn't just tell us what to do. In Jesus Christ, God showed us by God's Son's personal example. Jesus was, of course, both fully human and fully divine. He became one with us through his incarnation by being born into this world of the Virgin Mary. So the Lord shared our humanity while losing nothing of his divinity. As we have heard many times, Jesus was like us in all things but sin. And it was in the form and reality of our human flesh that Jesus both taught us and showed us how to live. Today's Gospel from Luke, we hear about Jesus in the desert after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in his own personal Lent. The Gospel tells us he was hungry, just like you and I can get hungry. And very much like you and I, he was tempted by the devil. The scene takes place after the Lord had been baptized in the Jordan River. It was at that moment that the very voice of God had proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now the devil is the father of lies. So he begins his temptations by questioning that declaration from God that Jesus was truly God's Son. We can almost hear the sneer in Satan's voice when he says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread," because Jesus was hungry. The devil dares to ask Jesus to worship him, to give the devil the homage that belongs to God alone. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the parapet of the temple." From the floor of the desert to the top of a mountain to the pinnacle of the temple, the devil is trying to pull the Lord down, pull down his relationship with the Father, and abandon his mission as Messiah. Again, this was not pretend. The temptations are very real. But Jesus refuses to rely on anything but faith. He doesn't claim any special privilege as God's Word, God's only begotten. He never tries to manipulate his father into letting him have the easy way out. Instead, unlike our first parents, Adam and Eve, and unlike you and me, who on so many occasions in our lives doubt the promises of God, Jesus believes his Father's word, not the devil's. He trusts in his Father's will, and he obeys his Father's commands. Jesus remains faithful in the weakness of his human nature. Jesus teaches us by example how to live by faith. Jesus knows from experience what it is like to be tried and tested, and he shows us how to resist temptation in our lives, how to defy the deceptions and deadly lies of our enemy, the evil one. Like the very bravest of commanders, he shows us how to overcome our enemy. Like the most compassionate and skilled of physicians, he demonstrates to us how our broken souls can be healed. And like the greatest of all teachers, he reveals the truth and manifests by example how to live in obedient submission to God's word. On this first Sunday of Lent, the message and example of Christ is particularly appropriate. Lent is a time not just to talk about our faith. Lent is a time not just to get ashes on our foreheads just to impress our neighbors. Lent is the time to be more fully converted, to become better Catholics, not just in theory, but in practice. Like Jesus, our leader, our teacher, our physician, we too need to live what we say we believe. There is a beautiful and compelling ritual at the ordination of deacons when the bishop hands the new deacon a New Testament and he says, "Believe what you read. Preach what you believe. And practice what you preach." Those are essential words, not only for deacons, but for all Christians, for every single one of us, in Lent and every day. We should all believe what we read in the Scriptures. We should all be witnesses to that faith, to everyone we meet, and by everything we do. And then we should always be practicing what we preach. Remember, so many people in this world own Bibles, but not that many people in the world read their Bibles. So we should show by example that we are living according to the New Testament. In the same way that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting, that same Holy Spirit invites us this Sunday morning at this instant to intentionally use Lent as a continuing moment of conversion and the deepest possible renewal in Christ. I suggest, both for you and for me, that we consider the traditional Lenten practices that have for centuries helped believers to grow in their faith. First of all, Lent is a very good time to go to confession. It is an opportunity for a little spring cleaning for our souls. We can trust our merciful God with the burden of our sins. As the Apostle Paul promises us in today's second reading, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God knows us. God loves us. God will forgive all our sins. God's mercy will help us to keep changing all our lives. According to the tradition of our church, priests in this diocese absolve, through the authority of Christ and the authority I give them as bishop, I promise you, if I hear of a priest in this diocese not being compassionate in the confessional, that priest will not continue in that ministry. I, as your bishop, need to go to confession as much as you do. And I encourage all to come to that sacrament of mercy in Lent and on a regular basis. Lent is also a good time for some extra prayers and even a little fasting. Think about it. If the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mystery of his humanity, fasted and prayed for 40 days, certainly you and me also need that same practices to help us live our vocations. Athletes need spring practice every year. They're already showing TV shots of the baseball players down in Arizona and down in Florida. They need that practice to sharpen their athletic skills. Much more essentially, we Christians need our Lenten exercises to get in better shape spiritually and strengthen our commitment to the gospel. And finally, Lent is a wonderful time to give a little more, and I don't just mean money. Here in Central Illinois, we really need a whole lot more people to offer their time and talent for all sorts of absolutely vital needs. I'm the bishop, but all of you make up this diocese. This is your church, your school system, your Newman Centers, your Catholic Charities, your RCIA programs, your religious ed programs. Perhaps it might be more accurate to say that everything in this diocese not only belongs to you, but truly should always essentially belong to Jesus Christ, and all of us should try harder to be his generous servants. And we should remember, especially, Easter is coming. Every Sunday of the year, at every Mass where we worship, even during the penitential seasons, Mass is always an Easter celebration of the undefeated, all-powerful gift of God's love. Whenever we come to God's holy altar and receive Jesus in Holy Communion, we are reminded that the love of God has no limit. That's good news always. But the bad news, I guess, is God wants our hearts. He wants something from us. He wants us to change. He wants our witness. He wants our sweat equity in the kingdom of God. We are freely offered so much in God's love. But God also wants our love in action, freely returned. God's love is infinitely stronger than the world, the flesh, and the devil. God's love is stronger than the most stupid and most deliberate of any of our sins. God's love is stronger even than death itself. Lent is always about remembering that, and remembering that God can and God will satisfy all our needs and desires with a gift greater than anything we can describe or even imagine. That is the gift of himself.